Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Weight loss solutions are not one size fits all. Hers makes it simpler to get started and stick with a weight loss plan backed by expert guided online care that puts your weight loss goals first. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you. With 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.
Forgiving myself for my past was one of the hardest parts of my recovery. I was a professional at rehashing the past and just being consumed by it. Welcome to another real, raw, authentic episode of Sober.Buzz, spreading the good buzz, hosted by me, Josh Case, and my beautiful fiance, Heidi Case.
It's me. Hi.
Where we are spreading the good buzz. Our global community crosses cultures and has no international borders. As addiction and recovery is a human journey, hope is found here.
Yes, it is.
So we've got an exciting episode today. We're going to be talking about some of the memes Heidi creates and the media behind. And if you guys don't realize, I'm the one that writes like thoughts below. Mm-hmm. So she comes up with them, but they all relate to me as well, because, you know, they probably relate to most people. But before we do that, well done. You nailed it. Yeah, I guess if nobody else related to it, people would be like, what the fuck is this? Why I not read it? So good point. Well done. Yes, you're doing an awesome job. But before that, we have an exciting announcement. We just filmed our first one this Sunday, and it comes out this Friday at 1 p.m. Central. We call it the Swarma.
Yes.
Where me, Heidi, and Cassie get together. Just kind of shoot the shit. The first one, Cassie's introducing herself, but
yeah,
you know, the upcoming ones, and we kind of do it on this one, and we just kind of girl talk, if you will, right?
Yeah.
You know? And we talk, like one of those shows in the morning, you know, we'll talk about
talk show.
Yeah, what's going on in our lives and recovery, and you know, maybe
Kathy and Regis or something.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I used to watch Kathy and Regis. Yeah, Kathy Gifford and.
Yeah.
You know, that was a good one. I used to like that. Yeah, I watch it with my Nana. But anyways, Kathy also has started her Buzz blog this week.
Right.
And she's putting stuff out there almost every day.
She
is writing away. And you guys should check that out. That's over on our website, sober.buzz. And then Heidi has got some new shirts in the store. New designs. So love to hear what you guys think about that, or just buy them and then we'll know that you like them, right? Actually, don't tell us what you think. Just buy the shirts.
Exactly.
And everyone I know is wondering why I have a goatee, and because you guys have nothing better to do.
Yeah, obviously.
We did have that voting or opinion, getting everyone's opinion on whether I should have a mustache or not. Got a lot of, and overwhelmingly, the mustache got a thumbs up.
It also got an overwhelming amount of thumbs down.
Well, it got more likes than dislikes. And in the poll, it was like 56%, 44% for the mustache. Mm-hmm. And the comments were all positive except for yours. Mm-hmm. And I think your fake accounts that you created. Let's just say about probably 70% wanted it, 30% didn't. Thank you, Lebanon. Thank you, Turkey. Thank you, Ukraine. You guys really came through for me. Real solid. But the compromise is, because I live with this woman.
Yes.
I get to have a goatee.
Yes.
So I hope
everyone... Which is much sexier.
Well, you know, I love Magnum PI.
We're not going for porn stash as in like Orange is the New Black look. we're doing this instead. Much sexier.
Well, anyways, the goatee.
Yeah, won.
It won. So why don't we want to tell everybody a little bit more about what we're going to cover today, the memes?
Yeah.
We'll move into that.
Yeah, we're going to talk about some of our memes today. Which one are we going to start with?
We'll start with the first one.
Oh, yes. We'll show you here. Do the inner work, get rid of the fear, the anger, guilt, shame, and pride. It's there you're going to find serenity. So I wrote this because I have found the main things that kept me in my addiction were the fear of getting sober, the anger that I felt about so many things throughout the year, the guilt, the shame, and then, of course, my pride. Because...
No!
Yeah.
I didn't even notice that. I thought you were so, like, just humble when I mentioned.
Yeah. Super humble. Anyways, so, yeah. It is only once you get rid of those things in particular that you're really able to sit in the silence. I think there's a difference between boredom and serenity. Don't you think?
Oh, yeah. For
sure. I mean, I before rehab, I could sit in the silence, sure. But I was bored and I was...
Hi.
No, I'm just saying, yeah. Hi. Yeah, I was hot. I was bored and I wanted to get rid of every thought that was going through my head if I was not high. So yeah, I was so caught up on all these other emotions. I didn't want to feel that I couldn't just sit there. So it was really more of boredom than serenity. It wasn't until I went to rehab and really took care of all of the like crazy, hurtful emotions that I was finally able to, and now I'm able to, like, even to this day, just sit and watch a sunset, or just sit and watch TV, or sit and talk with you, even. Yep. And I'm not crawling out of my skin, wanting to get out of all of that. For me, it was really anger and shame and guilt. That those were like my big three that I just could not get away from. And until I dealt with a lot of trauma and until I really was able to come to terms with some of the things that I had done in my life, I could not
yeah.
just
no,
find I, that serenity.
No, I totally understand that. And like what I posted in response to this or, you know, to add to it is just the serenity prayer.
Right.
You know, God grant me serenity to know what I can change and what I can't.
Right.
Like I identify with all of this stuff, like fear. I think one of my greatest fears was what will I do with myself if I don't drink? I actually feared like what would be my life? I didn't know what my life would be like
really
without drinking. I use drugs.
Fear of the unknown of like,
yeah.
you just know what like, it what could am I gonna, possibly look like.
What am I going to do with myself? This is what I do to like get through the day,
right.
You know?
That makes sense.
Yeah. And then like anger, there are the things that I dealt with in rehab that I was angry about, like what happened to me with the male babysitter when right. I was like 10, 11 years old.
Right.
You know, my relationship with my father, right. You know, those things, you know, I would drink to like not think about,
right.
You know, and then guilt. You know, believe it or not, I've done things that I'm not proud of in my life.
Never.
Yeah. Yeah. Things that hurt other people, hurt me, that if I could go back, I wouldn't have done them. And, you know, with that guilt comes the shame, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And now I can't say, like, oh, I'm totally glad I did everything I've done. But like this guilt and shame don't hover over me anymore.
Right.
Like I've learned how to forgive myself. Things I've done don't define who I am, you know.
Yeah.
I just felt like those things that I wasn't proud of, was like it kind of like, it made me feel like shit. So I was shit, you know. That makes sense.
Yeah, makes total sense.
And then, believe it or not, I had an ego. And
oh, you did.
Yeah, I had an ego. And, you know, they say your ego is trying to kill you. And, you know, or, it also stands for edging God out. Now, I know everyone doesn't believe in God, but, you know, I do. But, you know, edging whatever you want to call it out. That is supposed to be like your
higher power.
Yeah, your whatever your guide, moral compass, if you will. You know, my ego was trying to kill me. And, you know, there's a saying, like, Tyler, you guys have met him. He was our first guest. He would tell me that, you know, the graveyard's full of egos and good intentions.
Well, that's
good. You know,
it's very true.
So I may have just made that up. It may not be exactly like that, what he said, but it's a text.
It's a good one.
Yeah. Well, if it wasn't what he said, then that's a mine. But it was along those lines that, like, basically your ego's trying to kill you. And a lot of people never
dealt with
it.
Maybe I need to make that into a meme.
Yeah, yeah, that's mine.
Next theme.
So yeah, I think this is just a good reminder that you know, of what put us in our addiction, and you know what we had to deal with,
there.
And now that we're out of it, just a reminder what not to let happen to slip back into it, right?
Right, absolutely, absolutely. So when a flower doesn't bloom, you fix the environment in which it grows, not the flower. Right.
Yeah. The flower is not the problem, right?
No. Yeah. I mean, I love gardening. So I was really big into gardening, and now I'm really big into our potted plants, I guess.
Which you weren't at first. You kept getting upset with me for ordering more plants.
Because how many trees can you have in one apartment? Like, we have so many trees, people. It's crazy.
Well, obviously we can have more.
We have a lot of fresh air in here.
We have a couple olive trees, a few palm trees. I don't see what the problem is.
A banana tree.
Oh, yeah. And, oh, yeah, the money tree.
Yeah, I mean, that's a little one.
Yeah, but...
Big vines. We have all sorts of stuff in here. Anyways, so when I'm gardening, right, or potted planting, I
like to use the hoe. But it's a gardening tool.
It is a very great gardening tool. Anyways, gardening. If something's wrong with the blooms, obviously I'm not like cursing at the flowers saying there's something wrong with it, right? Like,
is it true if you like say positive things to flowers, they grow? I mean, I've heard this.
Actually talked about it on one of our podcasts.
Yeah, and I thought, sure, yeah, but I heard that before, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you, yeah, that is not a myth.
Not to go down a rabbit hole.
Okay. That's not a myth. If you say positive things to your plants, they will be healthier and grow faster and more green or colorful or whatever. Yeah, they will. It's the same thing like when we tell ourselves, like, you're stupid, you're so fat, I hate myself, blah blah blah, whatever. Like,
yeah,
it corrodes our mind, it corrodes our environment in which we are living in, right? It corrodes our own body. And the same thing as, you know, the flower, like, if you are giving it a shitty environment, it's gonna be a shitty flower,
right?
So
I guess there's some flowers that can thrive in that, but if it's not the right type of flower, it's got to find the environment it works in. Like,
right.
Like something that grows like in Florida is not going to grow in Alaska, but then vice versa, right?
Probably not. Yeah, probably not. So obviously we're talking about people here.
Yeah. analogy, right?
Right,
yeah.
Right. Obviously we're talking about people.
Yeah.
I can tell you that I was in the wrong environment for so fucking long, people. I was in the wrong marriage. I was just, the whole situation, it was just a bunch of shit. And I was not thriving. I was merely surviving, and sometimes barely even that. And I mean, I cannot tell you how many times I tried to unalive myself. I cannot tell you how many times I just thought, I hate my life. Like, and not because, like, I mean, my kids were great. I love my kids. Never, like, you know, try and change that or anything. But, like, the environment in which I was trying to thrive in was just not working for me. And it affected how I was as a mother. It affected how I was as a wife. It affected how I was just as a person, as a friend. I was not functioning. I mean, I laid on my couch most days and couldn't get up. And I mean,
Now you are now it's like you want to go for walks all the time.
Yeah. I like won't sit down.
Yeah, no, you're like buzzing about.
Unless I'm watching Outlander. I'm obsessed.
I hate Outlander. I hate that song, the intro song. And then you start singing it sometimes.
Anyways. The whole point is I actually get up and go do things now. Like go to the pool.
Yeah.
You can't rip me away from the pool anymore. So it's
hours and hours on end.
Yeah. Why? Well, there's a pool like in our building. Why wouldn't I go? It's great.
I mean, obviously. Yeah. I went in yesterday too.
I know.
Yeah.
I actually got him to go in, people.
I went in the water.
Yeah. My whole point, like I was not thriving. I was merely surviving and not doing a very good job of that even. I really did just lay on my couch most days. And it wasn't, like so many people are probably like, oh my God, she was just really lazy. No, you could have paid me $1 million to go do the dishes and I still wouldn't have done it.
And I've seen you paralyzed like that. Like when,
yeah,
like where it's, and I know what that feels like where it's like a simple thing to do, but it feels like a million.
The most insurmountable task.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I felt like that before, so I know what you mean.
Yeah, I mean, I truly was paralyzed throughout my first marriage. So for about 18 years-ish, I really just was crumbling constantly and not knowing how to survive. There were so many factors that went into that. Trauma that was happening, and I just couldn't do it. So my environment really caused this shrinking of myself. I couldn't find myself. I could not put my life together, and it was so frustrating. And really, I got so depressed about it. I mean, I really struggled, and I've talked about this a lot about that finding my purpose thing. But when you're in the wrong environment, how are you supposed to find that, right? Like, it just becomes absolutely impossible. And is it my fault for staying too long? I don't know. Maybe I should have known a long, long time ago that it was the wrong environment for me. I wasn't happy for years. I mean, just at least a decade. And, you know, when you try and force yourself to stay in the wrong environment too, that doesn't work either.
Yeah.
Like, just absolutely does not work. And now that I'm in the right environment, I am thriving. I've never been happier. Get up in the morning. I feel like I have a purpose to my life. I am excited about getting up. I mean, I do suffer from some chronic pain, so I am constantly like, I'm so tired, but you could not rip me from my bed in time to like do anything productive. Okay. Like, yeah, this man saw it. I really had a hard time with even just being a human being.
Yeah. I think for me, like when I was in my addiction, I think I kind of created my own bad environment, if that makes sense.
Oh, absolutely.
You know,
I did too.
Like I had, you know, I obviously worked, traveled, stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I would put myself in bad environments. What made it very easy for me to be in my addiction,
right?
Drink, you know, do things that I wouldn't have done if I wasn't using and drinking.
Yeah.
So I think this is a very applicable. I think it's a very good one.
Right.
You've done a few along these lines too.
Yeah.
Just a little different
way,
and they're some of my favorites.
Well, it also reminds me, like, even coming out of rehab or like once you're sober, like not putting yourself back in a bad environment.
That's a reminder, right?
Yeah, it's a great reminder for that, because if I had gone back to the environment from which I had come, what good was that going to do me? I was going to want to escape it again.
This kind of makes me think how like we thought when we moved to Florida, things would change just because we were like changing location, but not changing like, you know,
changing our physical location. Sure.
But your mental environment.
Yeah, exactly.
Change too, right?
Exactly. So our physical environment really didn't matter so much in that case. It was our mental environment that we had just.
We just brought it. We just took it across country, right?
We took it cross country with us. So our next one is, you want to read this one?
Yeah. If I could, then we make it bigger. And I just gave you that's what she said.
Yes.
Forgiving myself for my past was one of the hardest parts of my recovery. ID case. And then I wrote, cannot change the past, only can dwell or move on. Let your present be in the now, not the was.
Yes. So you want to go first?
Yeah. Like, you know, I did a really good job. I was a professional at rehashing the past and just being consumed by it. Like, oh, why didn't I do this? Why did someone do that?
Yeah.
What if this happened? Yeah. What if that? What would? How would this have turned out? And it's just a spinning my wheels, wasting my time. And one of the reasons I would drink or use is my mind wouldn't do that. Like, I would not be able to sit on a couch and like just be there. Mm-hmm. I couldn't just be without these things spinning around in my head.
Right.
So it wasn't until I learned how to just be in the present and not worry about the future or dwell on the past that, you know, my mind was free. And I learned how to do it. I learned that last summer in rehab, how to just, you know, be in the present. And it's way less stressful. It's way less exhausting. I can, and it's actually, I'm not crawling out of my skin or hating just being awake, right? Like,
right.
Like I would be, like, I'd rather just, I'd want to sleep rather than like think of the thoughts I had. It was almost like I've learned that my thoughts don't control me. I can control my thoughts. And before last summer, I would have been like, what? My thoughts control me. You know, like my brain controls me, but I can control my brain.
It almost didn't make sense when I was first told that. I was like, no.
Yeah.
Yeah. Forgiving myself was really the hardest part of my recovery. And my biggest thing that I was trying to forgive myself for was probably my role as a parent and the effects that I have had on my children. I was very active in my borderline diagnosis during the time that I was an active mom. My kids do not live with us. They live with, well, I have one who's married and lives in California, and the other three live with their father in Utah. So while I was actively their mom, I was very caught up in my borderline diagnosis and was not the mother that I wish that I could have been. I was constantly trying to survive my own self and my own thoughts and did not have time for their feelings. You know, I deeply regret not healing myself before I had children. I mean, it's not something I was aware of.
Right.
Right. Like, right. Anything, children very much triggered a lot of my issues being borderline, like abandonment issues and stuff like that. It very much triggered it. And you would think, oh, well, that would make you more empathetic or whatever, but it really didn't. And it's unfortunate. I know my children will have a lot of work to do on themselves because of me. And it is something that I deeply regret. But it is also something that I have had to forgive myself for and come to terms with and say, you know, Heidi, how could you have known?
I think it says a lot that you recognize that you caused your kids heartache, that, you know, not every parent recognizes that. A lot of parents just think, I gave them a good life. What are they bitching about, right? You know, I know that's how my attitude that, you know, yes, my parents, like, you know, what's wrong with him?
Yeah, like, my mom told my sober babysitter, you know, we gave her a good life.
Yeah.
Why is she like this? You know, it's not that easy.
No, I mean, if it was that easy, then, who knows? I mean, that wouldn't be life, right? Like, life is full of struggles and it's complicated. It's not straightforward like that. That's basically saying you can buy happiness. And trust me, I've tried. And yeah. It doesn't.
No, it doesn't. No, it really doesn't. Okay. So yeah, forgiving yourself, that is key to recovery. Got to do that. Definitely. Getting over can be terrifying, but do you know what's more terrifying? Waking up 20 years later, realizing you've been begging for the bare minimum and realizing your life is passing you by. You have the power to walk away from what no longer serves you.
And so I wrote, the unknown can be scary, but the known can be scary too. One thing for sure is once time is gone, you ain't getting it back. And that is definitely scary if that time is filled with unhappiness, anxiety, frustration, conflict in the environment you are supposed to feel free, safe, and loved in. Time is fleeting and situations do not need to stay permanent. Why delay the inevitable? Now, I usually at the end of something like this, right? That's easier said than done, right?
Absolutely.
Because like, you know, actually making a change and like the type of change I think this is, you are referring to is life-changing, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Any sort of big decision that is going to be hugely life-changing. In this case, I was talking about getting divorced, staying too long, realizing that my life had passed me by, and or at least quite a bit of it.
Someone thought you were 30 years old at the pool the other day.
Yes, but as this really rude girl in rehab reminded me, that I'm just a middle-aged woman.
A MILF, I mean, middle-aged woman.
I like that better. Sure.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah.
Anyway. MILF, we'll go with MILF.
Yeah, we'll go with that.
Mother I like to have fun with.
Yes, yeah. That's exactly what that stands for. No, having the power and knowing that you have the power to walk away from no longer serves you is huge.
Oh, that's another meme you have that I like.
Right. Yeah. And it actually has, it's more than just like a divorce or a marriage or whatever, you know, it's alcohol no longer serves me. Drugs no longer serve me. So I have walked away from that. And there is a huge amount of power in being able to say, this no longer serves me. I want to move on. I want a better life for myself. And that is really the only excuse that you need. I want something better for myself.
That made me think of, you know, I resigned my executive position at NG. Right. I mean, it's a position, it's a global Fortune 500 company. Something I always dreamed of, you know, being an executive at, you know, a major company. And a lot of people do. But it wasn't what I made it out to be. I was burnt out and, I abruptly resigned. Not typical what an executive typically does at a company like that, but I was burnt out, fed up, and that no longer served me. Now, at the time, is that what was like putting it in that context? No, but looking back, you know, like, so your career, you know, there's a lot of things that we do that for a long time that, ends up not serving us in the end, right?
Absolutely.
So it's a, yeah.
Just like your alcohol addiction.
Alcohol, drugs,
yeah.
You know, anything like that.
Yeah.
Bad relationships.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Whatever no longer serves you, you've got that power. Yep. Away.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
Well, if you guys enjoyed this, drop a comment or send us a DM. If you have any feedback for us, we'd love to hear it. But until next time, stay safe, sober out there in the wild, and can't wait to see you guys again. Have a great day.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's,